All right, this is Wednesday evening, 8:09:23. We're going to look at laying a good foundation tonight. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. Go ahead, I'll wait on you. Okay, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So what I want to look at tonight, we'll go over to Hebrews chapter 6. This is 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame. All right. I want to look at this morning at really some meanings of what we read. Doctrine here is instruction, the act or the matter. You know, in the church, you know, for months and months we've been studying, really years, going on years now, about the office of apostle and prophet, the foundation, the doctrine off the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, laid down doctrine in the church. But because the lack of acting apostles in the church and recognizing their office and what they truly do, I think a lot of the church has no clue what church doctrine is. If they were asked a question, I don't think they would know. Why do we do what we do? It's very important. All right. Just a minute. Sorry. All right, doctrine, instruction, the act or the matter. Perfection, mental or moral completion. Going to perfection. Foundation, something put down, or substruction. Substruction is what you do, build to start a building. Then repentance is reversal. In other words, you, where you used to be, you make it about face, and you got to start going the other direction, a reversal. All right? Dead works is a corpse. Dead works, a corpse. Works is toil or an effort or occupation or an act. Faith is credence or moral conviction of religious truth. I'm going to look tonight just on baptisms. Why are we baptized? Why do we get baptized? What's the purpose of getting baptized? It's one of the doctrines of the faith, one of the doctrines of the church. So I'm going to break all these down probably over the weeks to come. I'm thinking, I don't know why I've never even taught on it, never even thought about it, but, you know, I think a lot of people just really don't know what to believe or what they're supposed to be doing in the church and why we do what we do. And it needs to be ingrained in us, because if you establish the doctrine in someone, they're not going to let go of it. Okay. We need some absolutes. All right, when you know why you do things based on God's word, you will have a good foundation laid in your life, and you will be able to answer with firsthand knowledge that as a Christian, why you do the things you do. I would say that most Christians don't even know why they do the things they do, like baptism. If you listen today, the people that we come across, just listening to, you know, truthers or whatever, they're all over the place. I mean, all over the place. And we're supposed to be hearing the same thing, learning the same thing, saying the same thing as the body of Christ, right? We're one body. All right. To be in the Word of God so many times, it's worth mentioning. It is one of the foundational doctrines. All right. There's three baptisms mentioned. Sorry. Water baptism, Spirit baptism, and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. We'll look at that. All right. We're just going to start looking at some scriptures here and see what they say and what context they're talking about. Acts 1:22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. What did John come and do? He came and brought the baptism of repentance. Well, let's just look at that. Let's go back to, where would be the best gospel to look at, Danny? Yeah, about his baptism. Okay. All right, 3 verse 1 there. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then he went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea and all the region round about, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. All right. All right, go back to Acts now, 10. That word I say ye know, which he published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Acts chapter 13. Verse 24, it says here, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, who think ye that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. So he tells of the coming Messiah. All right, baptism of repentance, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Acts 18. 25. Well, let's start with 24 there. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. I think this is the one that Aquila or Priscilla pulled aside and imparted to him a more higher way. All right. Acts 19, this is verses 3 and 4 here. Right here, we'll just start with one. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." So we see two baptisms here. Baptism of repentance and a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this is biblical. Every person should have this experience in their life. Every Christian should be baptized in water, the baptism of repentance. It's a symbol. And be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's not just for the holy rollers or the Pentecostal denominations. Don't let anybody try to tell you, "Well, you know, when I got saved, I got it all." Well, no, there's two experiences here. All right. Romans chapter 6. Well, we'll do 3 and 4. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So when you are baptized, it is a symbol. What is that noise? So it's a symbol of this, your death, burial, and resurrection, just like Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. A lot of people say, "Well, you know, why would you do that? It's just a fleshly, outward thing." It's because the Scripture says to. This is a doctrine of the church. Okay, so keep going. Ephesians 4. You might be surprised how many people are not. All right. There's one, it says here, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. All right. Like I said, we're just looking at the scriptures that say this. I mean, why do we do what we do? Do we just do it because everybody tells us we need to? Do you really know why? All right, Colossians 2:12. I'm going to read 11 there. "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." So it is a symbol in the natural, but it has deep meaning in the spiritual. All right, Colossians 2:12. That was Colossians 2:12. Sorry. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right here, before that, it talks about Noah. Right here it says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So this was symbology. Are we saved by baptism? No. But it is symbolic. You know, I think maybe when we go through things that are in the natural, it helps us to have something to hold to. I mean, we have the spiritual, but there is a natural application, evidently. All right, baptism right here means technically fully wet. Not sprinkling. Yeah, technically fully wet. Baptized is just right there in the Strong's. It means ceremonial or Christian ablution. And that also means fully wet. All right, Acts. So if somebody tries to tell you, nah, we just sprinkle here. Well, the word says you're supposed to be fully wet. Okay, Acts 1:5. They were assembled together here, and it says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. There's that second experience. I guess it must be an Old Testament thing too, because John came preaching the baptism of repentance. All right, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, this is the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. All right, right here, Acts 1:5, the word there, baptism, is water. Acts 2:38 means water and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. All right, there's a few more that have those terms. This is Acts 8:12. We're going to look at 12 through 17 here. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they came down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. This is where Simon, you know, he wanted to buy it. You know, he saw this. By laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost is imparted. He wanted to buy. He thought he could purchase it with money. Nope. All right, 30, let's see, look at 36 and 38 of that same chapter. This is Philip. He got on board with the eunuch, and he imparted to him the word of God. And it says in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? All right. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, I know they baptize babies, Christian babies. To me, that's just, there's no point in that. Water baptism is for those who believe in Jesus Christ. They're going to be buried with him in baptism, raised in newness of life. It's a symbol. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he had come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. All right, let's keep going here. Acts 9, 18. This is whenever Paul got knocked off of his donkey there, and he had been waiting on something for 3 days, and Ananias was on his way. Now let's read 17. Well, right here. 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So I think it was water baptism and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, both. They go hand in hand, and they're two different experiences. Even though you might have them consecutively happen. All right, Acts chapter 10, 47. I'm going to start with 44 here. While Peter yet spake these words, this is at Cornelius' house, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, get this, before they're water baptized, they're filled with the Spirit. Now, I know for a fact the oneness doctrine teaches, if you don't get baptized, you're not going to make it. Early on, there was someone that was oneness that had some good revelation teaching. And I run into that oneness doctrine. And it turned me cold. I thought, that's hellish. Like, you better, you know, that was more important that you got baptized, not just water baptized, but it had to be in the name of Jesus. If you got baptized the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you're not saved. Well, the thief on the cross, he was going to be with Jesus that day in paradise. He didn't get baptized at all. This is the squirrely stuff that people believe, I'm telling you, that get all messed up and cause divisions. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So evidently it doesn't have to be in any particular order. They didn't even lay hands on them. Peter was just preaching. All of a sudden, they just burst out speaking in tongues. And he's going, whoa! That would be pretty fantastic, wouldn't it? No tarrying here. I mean, let's just get it all done right now. All right. Acts 11, 16. It says here, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Okay, let's keep going here. Still got a few. Acts 16. We're just looking at the word and what the word has to say about this doctrine. Part of the doctrine. All right. 16, 15. Now, this is Lydia. She's, Paul and them come up on Lydia. They were at the riverside here. And she invited him to come stay in her home. And she says, or he says right here, let's just do 14. It says, "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Water baptized. Maybe that's why they had their meetings by the water. So if they got believers, they believed, and they just baptized them right then. All right. Verse 33 here, same chapter. This is after Paul and Silas, were thrown in prison. Their backs were beaten and bleeding. They were in the stocks. And the prison was shaken, and their bonds were loosed. Right here, the jailer, it says right here. And the 32 says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord unto all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house straightway." So it seems to me this is an automatic. After you're born again, you get baptized. You complete it, you get baptized. Not that if you don't get baptized, you won't go to heaven, because we know that's not right either. But it's a symbol. Something that you remember, okay? 18, Acts 18. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." All right, Acts 19. Did you realize that baptism was in the word so many times? Acts 19:2. Let me get a drink right quick. All right, 19:2. "And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ." I read that earlier. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Yeah. All right, let's see. The next one is Acts 22:16. Let's see here. Let me just start with 14. "And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." He's talking about Paul here. Now, And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. All right. He's kind of recounting what had happened to him. Okay. All right. Romans 6, 3. When I sat down this morning with that one scripture about the of not forgetting those doctrines, I didn't expect to go to this direction, but we do what the Holy Ghost wants us to do here. All right. Know ye not that so many of us, verse 3, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. At the time when you become crucified with Christ. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First four verses there, it says, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That was a type of baptism. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. See, all these things that happened in the old covenant were types and shadows of new. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That's kind of a cool passage right there. I like that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Let's start with 12 there. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And it goes on to talk about the different parts of the body. Okay. All right, Galatians chapter 3, 26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All right, I'm going to look at the word fire here. The word fire is actually like Holy Ghost. Well, I can't even remember the scripture I got it from. But anyway, it literally means, or figuratively, literal or figuratively, it means lightning. Lightning. And it's spelled L-I-G-H-T-N-I-N-G. I didn't know that was a word. Lightning. Lightning. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, healing all the oppression of the devil. That's the scripture about the power. And the Strong's here, power, means dunamis force or miraculous power. That's the purpose of the power of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? All right, we must establish these cornerstone doctrines in our lives so that when we are asked about them, we can give an educated answer to why we do what we do. These are basics like reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're elementary to the faith.
Read Matthew 3:11.
Okay.
You went to Matthew 3, but...
I didn't read 11.
No.
Well, there's so many on it, I'm thinking. All right. I indeed, this is the one, this is probably the one that I did not write down. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He hath baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So there's that lightning. I think it's probably like dunamis power, miraculous power. So, yeah, I did have that scripture. I guess it just got past me. Thanks for bringing it up. All right, that's going to be it.